working now.
It's all working well. Good.
It's all working.
Happy National Hot Dog Day to you.
Oh, it is National Hot Dog Day.
Sure. Wow, yes, it is.
Great irony.
Dollar Hot Dogs at Portillo's.
Oh, I would love a hot dog right now.
Mm,
let's salute one of the world's greatest athletes, Joey Chestnut, hot dog eating champion.
Legend. Mm.
Now, normally, and we want to welcome back Violetta Podomatic to the program.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome
it's good
back.
To be back.
Second best name on the show now that Domiti Pongo is filling in for you. That's we fall in love with his name. So that's
it's hard not to.
Yeah, Domiti Pongo. All right, who's going to be playing News or Ruse tomorrow? All right, now, great. Normally what I would do here, we'd start with some sort of feckless commentary about something. Mm-hmm. But I want to start on a serious note here, because we have the man who is sitting in the studio with us right now and normally sits on the other side of the glass. He's been with me personally for 15 years, mm-hmm. as my producer, my sonic genius, the guy who's behind all of these, all the musical stuff that you hear us do. He's the voice of a lot of it. He produces it. He produces music on the side. He's got his own podcast network, essentially. Yeah. And he works another job, too, which we can't talk about publicly.
It's not that crazy.
Well, it's in the security realm. And so he does that as well. And he's an Iraq War veteran. A Persian Gulf War veteran. He is a United States Marine. He is a guy who's, you know, one of my personal heroes. And last night, we all saw the story about the 71-year-old who was shot in Englewood. And this was, you know, there was a drive-by. There was not even a drive-by. It was a gun battle between two cars, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. And this 71-year-old man, who, you know, was just walking down his somewhat safe block in Englewood, catches a bullet from one of these cars, mm-hmm. as it's passing. 4 minutes before that bullet took that 71-year-old man, a bullet from that same engagement, because this was an ongoing gun battle between these two cars that lasted blocks, whizzed past our own Brian Altimer.
Too close.
You were getting off of the train. Explain what happened here.
Yeah, so I was leaving WGN Studios as I normally do, and got off on 63rd. And those of you that are familiar with, you know, the red line, it lets you off in the middle of the overpass. So I'm walking west towards the light so I can get off the overpass so I can cross the street to get to my apartment. There's a gas station that's right across the street from the overpass. So I'm waiting to, you know, cross the street. There's another older lady, about 40, I'll give her about 48, and she's in front of me. And the first thing I hear is two loud, dull gunshots. It was like, pow, pow. Mm. And I totally froze. The lady in front of me freaked out because there was nowhere to really run because we're, like, at the end of an overpass. There's no cover, there's nothing there but a light pole and some shrubs that's like right there. And so we heard the first two gunshots, and then I hear four more gunshots, and I'm like, okay, don't move. And then I see a dark colored SUV zoom out of the gas station. So when I see that SUV zoom out, I see a beige colored it's like a Buick Park Avenue, zoom right behind it. And I see the shooter that's in the beige Park Avenue. He leans out as he's driving, and he lets off four more shots. Mm. And if you're familiar with 63rd and Yale and Wentworth, it's a split there. So you go straight if you want to stay on Yale. If you want to go towards Wentworth, you veer off to the left. They went toward the left. So they were essentially shooting at each other going down Wentworth. So at that point, that's when I call you, because I'm looking at this as it's happening. I'm like, this is news. So I call you, and at one point you didn't answer the phone. So I'm like, let me call 911.
It's always better to call 911 before you call me. I say that to everybody
very
in my family.
Yeah.
So I called 911, gave them the description of both cars. And I was pretty shaken up about it.
I bet.
And I'm right next to St. Bernard Hospital. So there's always some kind of police presence there because you have EMTs there.
Right.
You have police, sometimes state police there. They are there. So I'm walking toward the emergency room and I see one of the CPD officers and I tell him, like, you know, there was just a shooting between two cars, even though I already called 911. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to let him know because, you know, that was pretty serious, you know, because bullets have to go somewhere.
Right.
And so I get in the house and I sat there and I thought, I'm like, that could have been me, you know, and I didn't even hear the news about the other guy getting shot and killed. But about 15, 20 minutes after I got in the house and I'm looking on social media and I'm seeing live shots from 71st and the Dan Ryan. And I'm like, oh, my God, that could have been me.
You know?
And
you didn't see this man who ended up getting killed. Did you see him at any point?
Because that's about 5 blocks away from where
you are. It's about 5 blocks away. So my thinking is they went down Wentworth and went to 71st, and then that's where, unfortunately, that guy lost his life.
Mm.
You know, and it's way out of hand at this point.
I want to go back to when you first heard the shots. Were these two cars shooting at each other at that point?
No, they're in the gas station. It started in that gas station because whatever happened, it started in the gas station. So they zoomed out of that gas station and went down Wentworth.
And you got to look at the.
I got a real good look at the
guy in the Park Avenue or whatever. That GM car.
Yeah.
And I suppose the, you know, the thing is, and I know that you were talking earlier to Jeff, our producer, as well about you know, you felt the actual vibration of the shots, right?
Yeah, it was a powerful gun, whatever it was, because I felt it when those first two shots went off. You felt kind of like the vibration of that gun, and then
you're close enough for that.
How close would you say it was, Brian?
About 15, 20 feet. That's how far I was. And you can smell the gunpowder after the gun discharge. You can smell it.
Cordite of it. Well, I mean, you're
military, right?
Yeah, so you're familiar with that smell.
I would imagine there were, at this time of day, 8:20. This isn't like 2 in the morning. There were a lot of people around there. How did everyone react? What happened
those
moments after?
There were about three other cars in that gas station. People probably just getting gas or getting other things out of that gas station, and they ran. There were a few kids at that bus stop that ran north across of 63rd when it happened. Like I said, myself and the older lady that was like in the middle of the intersection, she freaked out. I just froze by the pole because I didn't know where else to go, because there was nowhere for me to go outside of like diving in that little berm that leads back into the Dan Ryan.
Rolling down that hill toward the Dan Ryan is never, that's not going to be good either.
Oh,
be attacked by a pack of dogs.
What a bad choice.
Yeah. It's startling. I mean, you know, we're laughing because, you know, you're well and nothing bad happened to you. You are from Englewood, right?
Yeah.
You're born in Englewood.
Yeah.
You went to school there. You have moved back to Englewood. You're buying a house there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're raising your kids there. You've got teenage sons. It's a pretty amazingly brave thing, I think, at this moment to do that, because I think that there are people like you who have multiple jobs. You're responsible. You're a taxpayer. You've served the United States of America. You've done, you know, you've done everything right in your life, and you're standing there. And it also appears that the 71-year-old man, you know, is a completely unintended victim in this. And we know we have these stories of children, but there are other adults, and you've got, you know, moms, and you've got
an anti-violence activist over the weekend,
right,
caught up in the middle of shooting. He's devoting his part of his life to trying to combat the violence in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this is not about, I just want to make this point, that this is not about, you know, we sit and think constantly to make ourselves feel better, I think. We look at this in black and white, literally. We look at this in communities. We go, well, it's only happening there. It's not happening here.
Which isn't true, though.
And it's because it is happening more. It's happening in,
happened
in more places.
My mom's house in Rogers Park a year ago.
Places
kid
that
killed.
People don't expect. It happened right down here, downtown. You know, at, off the Ohio Street underpass to the beaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we stop and we think that this is isolated and this doesn't touch us, but it does. I mean, it touches for the people who are listening to this program right now. You know, the 2/3 of what you hear on this program comes from the mind of this man. Mm-hmm. And it's this is not is it not isolated circumstances? And this is an unsafe situation. And you know, the question is, you know, what can police do? What can the community do? What can, the, you know, it really does, in a lot of respects, come down to how did those, you know, four or five guys between those two cars, you know, how many there were? Do you know how many there were per car?
I only saw, as far as the driver of the GM car, I only saw that one driver, and I saw him pretty good because he was leaning out.
But he was a driver leaning out of the driver's side,
right? And was
with his gun, with a handgun.
It was a handgun. It was a powerful handgun because when you feel shots like that, it's not, you know,
it's a 40 or 45. Something.
Yeah, it's something big. And I got a really good look at that dude, and
hopefully you'll be able to help police.
Yeah, hopefully it's at this point people. They always ask me, why do I stay in Englewood? Why don't you just move out? And my response is, why should I have to move out? You know, it's not people like me that's creating the trouble.
You're the solution.
Right. And there are many other, you know, law-abiding citizens that stay in Englewood. They want the carnage to end, too.
Right. And I think that's a point, right? I mean, this is what, when we talk about, you know, there's grandmas and all these other people living in these neighborhoods that don't want the violence. Well, there's also, you know, professional men mm-hmm. in these neighborhoods with their families, right? And you have a nuclear family, you know, that you want to raise in this. And then I know there are people out there going, well, you should just move. You should just move. You should just move. But that is, and that's my instinct, you know, too. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that someone has to stand up, and because these neighborhoods. There's only one way for these neighborhoods to come back to the once glory of a lot of the, and then Englewood was a beautiful neighborhood at one point, mm-hmm. you know, and to in order to just be even stabilized, you got to have stable people in these neighborhoods, and to have this happen, and then as you said, the older woman who you described as 48, and I won't take that personally, but she, but you know, and what happened with her? Did you talk to her?
She had on her her nurse scrubs, so I can only assume. That
so again,
she,
a professional.
Yes, she was on her way to work because they just built a ambulatory center like down the street, and what's ironic about all of it is that about a couple months back they did a story because they. Had the Welcome to Englewood sign right there on 63rd, and this is where all that nonsense started. Was right there, and it's like, you know, somebody riding past and they see that sign, and then you hear gunshots. It's like Welcome to Englewood. It's like, you know,
right? It's like like a water department email is basically what it's like.
Oh yeah, those are great, aren't they? Yeah.
But in real life. All right. You know what, Brian? Thank you for telling the story.
We're happy you're safe.
No.
And
thank you.
Hope maybe Beyond you happy. Could participate with the help of the police department.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Well, we will see. So this is just a way of you know, thank you for telling the story. And, you know, thank you for getting missed. That's the most important thing right there. I mean, it's amazing, right? I mean, what else else can one say about it? Mm. All right. Slice of life in Chicago. Violetta Podomatic. It's got the WGN traffic travel spots.
Does that mean Violetta and Kevin will never get to see it? Because you have to behave first to see the deck.
Roe's the one throwing the parties.
But we wouldn't know.
With the fog machine and the sideways visor.
Yep, yep.
It's my new deck.
It's my deck.
This is as close as we'll get to his parties on his deck.
Yo, biatches!
Wipe your feet before you come up here.
I'm glad this show stayed classy while I was gone.
This is for your return.
Exactly. Exactly. This is, this is about as classy as we get.
Telling me to do the Tribune.com. Wake up, watch the new WGN-TV Early Morning News. Lauren Jiggets, who we had on the show. Dan Ponce, traffic with Sarah Jindra, and weather with Morgan Kolkmeyer. Weekdays, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Check it out.
All right, coming up on the program, the president has just canceled the program, the covert program of the CIA providing arms to the rebels in Syria. Why did he do it? What does this mean? Was that part of the conversation that he had with Vladimir Putin at the G20? Because this actually helps the... This is a Putinesca right here.
I like that sauce.
That's what's happening
Not in
here.
This context.
Yeah, that's the deal here.
He also told a senator, you want to be a senator still, right? You like being a senator.
Right, the guy from Nevada who didn't go along with the health care plan.
Heller.
Mm-hmm.
Seated immediately next to him, who pretended to laugh but was very uncomfortable.
Oh. All right. We'll do all that. Michael Weiss is going to join us, the Middle East expert that you see on the cable newsers all the time. He's going to join us to talk about the Syria situation. What does this really mean? Maybe it turns out to be a good idea. Gonjo with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Well, the news out of Washington today, one of the stories that is garnering a lot of attention is the CIA ending their covert support for anti-Assad forces in Syria. And that that does beg the question, why would they do that? Now, it's said that that was ordered by the president through his CIA director, Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
Now, this comes just a very short period of time after the G20 summit and the conversations that Putin and the president had.
Sure. The Washington Post is saying the decision to end the program was made prior to the meeting with Putin, leading you to wonder what was discussed, and then immediately after that, that ceasefire deal in southwestern Syria was announced.
Well, one would assume that they're interrelated, right? That he got the ceasefire done, the president had to agree to something as part of that ceasefire, right? What was the United States getting out of that? Obviously, Jordan was involved in it. Israel was involved in it, in coming together with a, you know, to some degree, everybody had to sign off on creating stability in that region. And I guess the thing that would be most interesting is, did the president unilaterally, which he can do, I mean, that's what we elect presidents, they can make executive decisions about military action and covert intelligence actions like the CIA arming Assad's people, he can make a move like that unilaterally. Now, is that it benefits Vladimir Putin greatly because Vladimir Putin is arming the pro-Assad people. Mm-hmm. So if you take away the anti-Assad arms and you leave them just open to, you know, whatever, you know, if you disarm them or you don't support them financially, then that changes everything for them, right?
That's you take the muscle and a lot of the strategic background out of that campaign against them.
Why? We'd had a stated role here so far in Syria of backing the anti-Assad rebels. But then we also find ourselves in an awkward position because you're never sure which. There are so many different militias, if you will, that are roaming Syria right now. Whose side are you really on? If you're like, look at it sort of in the Game of Thrones world, you know, you have all of the different houses there, and they're all, and no one's really coalescing them other than Assad in the north, and then you have this loose affiliation in the south, and you've got ISIS roaming in between them. Now, ISIS has been, and so you got Assad's people with Putin fighting against our people mm-hmm. who are CIA-backed, and they're both fighting ISIS, is the theory. But then there's a lot of interplay between the a nexus between all the different individuals there.
And the ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, had said that it is a priority of this administration to see regime change in Syria, which is not what Russia wants to see. So they're not aligned, certainly, in that.
But they can say one thing and then do something totally different, right?
Of course.
Now, this is The Hill reporting this. Officials told have said that the shuttering of the CIA program does not mark the end of the U.S. involvement in Syria. Trump signed off on a plan to arm the Syrian Democratic Forces, a Kurdish rebel group, using Department of Defense funds. That was in May. Now he has decided to shut down that program after meeting with Mike Pompeo and his national security advisor, H.R. McMaster. This all in the shadow of the meeting between Trump and Vladimir Putin.
It's interesting because this is, if it is all things with Moscow and the Kremlin and Putin, there are conflicting reports. So all of the headlines here are like, obviously this is in the best interests of Russia. And then Moscow, of course, responds and said this is an affront to its interests. They wouldn't want this, which...
Of course, that's what they would say.
Of course, is what they would say. It's like, okay.
We're not really counting on them to get
Even
along.
You've asked for it in the past.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's... But how is this counter to their interests? I don't think that it is.
It's hard to come up with that narrative.
Yeah, but that's how they...
That's how it works.
One current official told the Washington Post that this decision is, quote, a win. Putin won in Syria. So one for Team Putin right there.
And then it leads to the question of what was discussed at the G20, what was discussed at this extra meeting that has now been disclosed, that President Trump went over to Putin, who had his own translator, but the President Trump did not, and what was said there. There's a record of that.
There's two things there that trouble me slightly.
Mm-hmm.
One, don't you want to have the advantage of having your own interpreter with you?
For sure.
In a situation like that.
And it wasn't one-on-one.
No. So it's basically two. It's one and a half on one. You kind of want to look at it that way. It's one and a half on three quarters. Let's put it that way, because you got, Trump may not be able to savvy. I don't know how well he listens to what's happening. It's a little unclear. Doesn't seem like a big listener. Like, you watch him listen at debates and other things, or, you know, wherever you see him mm-hmm. standing at the podium while another leader, head of state, is talking, and he's like, if he had a phone, he'd be tweeting or playing Candy Crush.
Kind of has that little boy in church feeling about him. You're sort of like, I'm paying attention, don't worry.
He's squirming. What did he just say? I don't know. He said something in French. I don't know. So I wonder where is all of this heading?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all wonder that, right?
Yeah, it's a move that you would deserve some discussion and explanation.
So Violeta Padromedic just got back from Serbia. Were people asking about
Syria? Because if she's been everywhere else, that there's been major issues in the world.
That's true. She got caught in G20 traffic in Germany flying through.
I was caught in Germany, actually. I was in Frankfurt. But a lot of people actually just asking, interested about our politics with Trump. They are not fans of the Clintons in Serbia.
After the bombing, I would imagine.
So they're fans of Trump, but
of course they are. They are also fans of Milosevic, who was one of the only
a hero.
He was a hero, except he was tried for war crimes in The Hague.
Well,
as you might recall, he was a mass murderer. There was that. There happened to be that.
Life was good when he was around. That's all they know.
Yeah. Oh, great. Unless, of course, you were a Bosnian.
On the wrong side.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That was... That was that.
It's
unless you're a Croatian,
there.
A Bosnian, or a Muslim, really. I mean, it was not good there either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
So were they asking you to explain everything? Because I know that always happens.
Oh, that would have been good.
When I go to England and my family there, they're always like, what's going on? What exactly is happening in America these days?
Yeah, they weren't so concerned. They do think, though, that we all walk around with guns and shoot each other just all the time. So
Chicago in particular?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're like, you don't go out past 8 o'clock, right? I'm like, no, we still go out, just not It's interesting, though. I mean, their views on politics, they're not that interested. But with Trump, everyone is interested. It's always something going on. So,
plus, maybe if they're lucky, Trump will come and marry one of them. That's, I think, a little bit of the...
They're working on their own marriage visas. They don't need
maybe maybe Trump come to marry me. Again, it is. It's all very Game of Thrones. All of a sudden, you know, the king's going to come, and he's gonna pick his wife.
Were they talking about the immigration policies, though, Violetta? Because that affects...
Yeah, that's affecting people trying to get over here. A lot of them coming from Serbia, since it's not part of the EU, they find it difficult to get visas, even tourist visas. So,
All right. Well, since you got a work visa, here is Violetta Powder-Medic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, no.
National Hot Dog Day has made me think that secretly, occasionally, I have indeed put ketchup on a hot dog. Of course, it's veggie dogs for me, so you got to put something on them to taste
better.
Well,
that doesn't count if it's a veggie dog. Then I support...
Okay, what in God's name is a veggie dog?
A veggie dog?
What in God's green earth is a hot dog? I mean, let's just get all the
bastards. You do not
there? Who the hell asked you?
It's encased meat.
You do
meat.
Not
it's
think
wonderful.
About that.
This is a city built on encased meat.
And I appreciate
armor,
that. I
right?
live in the meatpacking district. I've seen it close up.
Vienna.
A little too close up sometimes.
These are Chicago institutions that change the world.
That's right. And we are here to keep up those
fine traditions, yes.
I know you got a bunch of people in Germany claiming that they invented encased meat. Well, we perfected it. Whether it was...
A nice winter schnitzel.
Well, that's not an encased meat, but whatever.
I don't know what an encased meat is.
Yeah, thank you.
Worcestershire, maybe, but...
The people, please. From
you know them.
Armor to Vienna to hot dog!
Damn right.
The noble encased meat.
Preach, brother.
I need one right now.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. There we go. Tom Skilling now is joining us.
Yes. How are you guys?
Couldn't be better.
Good.
You know, I heard you describe the atmosphere as buoyant.
Buoyant. Yes,
I
indeed.
Like that word.
Well, you know, there are two things you look for to make thunderstorms, and that's a buoyant atmosphere because the air wants to rise. When it does that, it cools, and you get these towering cumulonimbus clouds to form. And we've seen them on the horizon along the Lake Breeze front, looking west from the city.
You posted them on your Facebook page, didn't you, Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've had some
formations.
Beautiful examples of that, Anna, in recent days, that's for sure, and in the last couple of weeks, as a matter of fact. But yeah, when the air rises, it cools, and so you get these cloud towers to form, and that they tend to be composed of mixed ice and rain, which separates charges, and that's where you get the lightning discharges. And then we got a jet stream in the neighborhood, too, so this these rising columns of air are spun by action of the jet, and therefore you can get some rather severe storms, and some of these can bring wind energy down to the surface. So what's going to happen essentially between now and Sunday is every now and then we're going to get one of these clusters of storms to come by, and if they park over an area for a given time, and that may happen, we could get some very heavy rainfalls out of this. So, you know, thunderstorms are capable of producing rainfall rates of 6 to 8 inches an hour. They pull air from the environment around them and concentrate it in rather heavy downpours. And, well, if you get under those, and if you get a series of cells to move over the same corridor of terrain, then you can get some really heavy rains like those that have led to the catastrophe we've seen up in the northern suburbs and into Wisconsin.
I was going to say that's the last thing they want to hear in those areas.
Yeah.
Is it going to be hitting those?
Well, you know what? We're in the zone at risk. Now, what will be interesting to watch, and we don't have a lot of skill days ahead of time in forecasting where these corridors are going to lay out, but we can outline with a level of confidence areas which are prone to, you know, some of these heavy rain corridors, and that would put us and areas up north close to that. So we're just going to have to see where these things lay out.
Well, let's talk about timing here, though.
Yeah.
Because I know that tonight there's a possibility, right? Tonight, right, late night into tomorrow.
There is some going right now out in our western suburbs. They popped up anywhere from Aurora to Joliet to Lockport in that general area, DeKalb, between those cities. And then there's a squall line that's been racing from South Dakota. It's now in south central Minnesota. And our models kind of suggest that that thing may be rolling into parts of the area along about midnight tonight. So if it holds together, the areas affected by that could see some severe weather. And then our models are developing another band of storms up through Wisconsin, quite a line that's to be settling south toward the state line by the time we get to about 6, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning and continuing south from there. Now, those have the potential of producing some heavy downpours. So got a couple of shots of rain tonight, and then as you extend the view into tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday, and even parts of Sunday, these storm clusters will form from time to time. And a few,
so this is like a 4 or 5 day environmental situation.
Right, exactly, Ro. And there'll be quiet hours in between. You know, it won't rain continuously. But these lines and clusters will come through from time to time. Now, what you worry about is one of these clusters parking over an area for a while or training in an area, and that's where you can get some big rains. We've got 2 inches of evaporated water. We can calculate from the weather balloon soundings how much water you can squeeze out of a column of air about 30,000 feet in depth. And we're going to be up marching toward 2 inches. And I've often said when you get up to 2 inches, I've rarely seen an atmosphere with 2 inches of water in it not do something you don't want it to do, either in the terms of severe weather or flooding. I made that comment a couple days before the flooding hit last week. And indeed, look what happened, you know. And it's been my experience that you tend to have these bad outcomes from an atmosphere that's that moist. Then on the other hand, you go south here, there's broiling heat. They've got excessive heat warnings downstate through Missouri, good chunk of Iowa, back to Kansas and all. And temperatures, as you go south, will be up flirting with 100 degrees the next couple of days. So imagine the moisture with dew points in the mid to upper 70s down there. So imagine the moisture that is in the air there. Then on top of that, we're near peak crop season. So, you know, an acre of corn will put 4,000 gallons of water into an area. Into the air around it in just a day's time, and we've got states covered by plants that are transpiring moisture. So it's a very moist period of the year.
So this is why we always get this kind of
weather
as we had late July, early August.
Yeah, everything kind of marries. I mean, you know, you got a buoyant atmosphere because it's warm. You got enough of a jet stream left that can go into the mix, and then on top of that, you've got plants. Transpiring moisture into the atmosphere, so it all gets together. It's really interesting to note, though, if you don't think plants have a major contribution to make to the atmosphere, when we plot dew point maps, we call those isodrosotherm analyses.
I've never used that.
That's
term
not what we call
record.
Them. Oh, but, yeah. We call them that thing over there on Tom's desk.
Yeah, just listen to Tom. Okay, this is important. It's got a big name.
Look, I'll tell you something. If I ever get another pet, that's my name. You know how weather people name their pets something.
Yes.
You know, with a weather term.
Storm.
I think I'm going to have. I've had a vorticity and. I think isodrosotherm is
isodrosotherm.
Yeah, come here, isodrosotherm.
Isodrosotherm.
Yeah.
Can I go for
Don't
a walk?
Do that, isodrosotherm.
Get off the couch.
Get over here.
Isodrosotherm. No.
I know. I'll tell you.
It just rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. I know it does.
Can I ask a question about you do have dogs now?
I do.
Right?
Three of them. Yeah.
Three? Okay.
Three and a kitty.
Oh boy. Oh,
and they all get along. It's the funniest thing. The cat.
The cat knows it's unnumbered at the moment.
But you know, the little kitty comes down. Little Waldo comes down. And
now Waldo is not a weather term. That's what I'm trying to get to the weather terms here.
No, that Waldo was the name that we had.
Oh, it's good for a cat because where's Waldo? Because everybody asks that about
a
cat.
It's a great name for a kitty. Yeah. For a cat. Somehow Waldo is Waldo. You know, I mean, it just the name fits. But Waldo's a little black cat. We got her. Got him at 5 weeks old, and boy, has he grown. But he's grown up with the dogs, and so he lays on his back and kind of smacks the dogs, you know, playfully.
Yeah.
And then they nuzzle, you know, their noses into Waldo's stomach. And then Waldo will jump up and run away, and they chase, and then will lay down and start the whole procedure again. And it's really quite... Right. You could do a movie out of
that's
this.
That's adorable.
You should post that. People love that song. Yeah, they love a cat. They love it.
Waldo. Hey, where's Waldo?
Waldo, I know.
Where's Waldo?
Well, you know, and it was frightening because I have a balcony, and I had the dogs out there, and I had my brother in from out of town with his daughter and my niece, and we were out in the balcony, and... Oh, to my horror, I looked over. Waldo had come out on the balcony and was walking along the quarter inch of concrete on the outer side of the railing with a 19-story fall. And he's.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, my heart.
Scared me to death.
Oh, I'm telling you, Anna, life ceased. Why, stopped.
Why did he get out on that side?
I don't know. I didn't know he could do that. And he's there walking along, kind of unsure, you know. And I thought, oh, my God, if anything happens to this little animal, I'm going to die. Life will never be the same. I'll never look at the balcony the same way again. But I got my brother and my niece inside. I said, would you go inside? And I said to the dogs, come on, girls, go inside. And I didn't want to reach quickly because he might flinch to get away. And I said, Waldo... And he comes right through the rail. If I tried to pull him through the, you know, the slats on the rail, I could never got him to do it.
And you don't want to spook him either.
No,
right?
You don't want to frighten him. Well, that's the last Waldo who's ever gotten out on the balcony.
What happened? How did Waldo just decide to come in?
Because
I think the cat also gets while it's out there. It's looking. I mean, they've lived for a millennium.
Right.
I mean, you know,
for some reason.
Yeah,
right?
For hundreds of thousands of years. Yeah. Right, in their current condition. And so I think they kind of know, they have an idea of what heights are, and so they you know.
Well, they're not freaked out by them, it seems, ever.
He was there, stories. And he was kind of like looking down and nervously, and I...
That's further than the counter.
Yeah, he's saying, I haven't seen anything like this inside the condo, you know, but this is kind of intriguing. But thank God, he came in, and, you know, that's just it. We just know... he's never getting out there again unless we carry him and have him securely in our arms. But I never,
I wouldn't do that
never
either.
In a thousand.
There's no
years.
Reason in a 19th floor condominium to have the cat go outside.
No,
it just isn't.
He's not an outdoor cat.
He's not an outdoor cat.
No,
he's an indoor cat.
He
should stay indoor. And then what? And so what are the dogs' names?
We have let's see, Callie, Maddie, and
Callie.
Nessa.
Is Callie like?
Callie is an Irish Terrier.
Okay.
And Maddie is a little rescue dog from Andy
Cruelty.
A little white pug-faced, long-haired little thing with floppy ears. So sweet.
Oh.
And we found out terribly mistreated before he got into Andy Cruelty. I mean, they nursed.
That.
I know. When we adopted him or her, you could feel every rib in her body. Oh. And how anybody could treat an animal like that.
That's unbelievable.
But she's so sweet. And then the Nessa comes from... Paws, and she's a rescue dog too, and she's a sweet thing. So they all get along.
And they go out there, and they're big enough; they can't get through.
Oh no, they know better than that, and they couldn't get through it anyway, bro. You know, and a dog will not jump up on a 2-inch rail and walk along.
No,
you know? So they're smart enough not to do it. A kitty, on the other hand, will go up there and walk along this and say, this is kind of unique, and well, that unique behavior will never be tolerated on my balcony.
So when you went in, the cat just jumped in and went in, right?
Yeah, well, when we got everybody inside, I said, Waldo, and boom, you know, just
the kitty whisperer. I like that.
Very calm.
Like,
I would not be calm in that situation.
No.
I've been like, oh, no.
I think it took me a week to get over that. I'm sure... If any neighbors were watching this whole thing, they must have thought, what in heaven's name is on his mind? And I didn't intend for the cat to be out there, but he had followed the girls, the dogs out there. And it never occurred to me that he would be exploring the outside of the railing on our balcony.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it will occur to me from now on.
Yes. I get it. Yes, so. It's a good move. But you don't. But it does it not appear that you have any weather related? The whole reason I'm asking the names of
no.
the animals is that none of them are weather related now.
Thanks
no,
for the
payoff. No, that's right, Ro. Yeah. I had a vorticity, a little kitty, vorticity, lived to be 21 years old. It was a little rescue kitty that they found wandering at North and Harlem. And brought him in. And
now, why don't you just name him Harlem? I mean, isn't that a good name for a kitty?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they had named him. It's like little Maddie was they had called her Sally, but she just didn't look like a Sally to us.
No.
You know, so
that happens.
There must be people tuning in right now and going, "What?" And
talking about
what? Is that Tom Skilling? That can't be Tom Skilling.
I know. Gee, yeah. I'm sorry to get off
all right.
of these.
No.
This, unimportant. I mean, when we've got have gone through up north and all, somehow this seems so trite and trivial when we're talking about a weather situation.
Well, people want to know.
Watch.
All right, so just so we know, tonight, kind of a big storm moving through tonight into tomorrow morning, and then on and off for the next 4 days.
And that will be true of the next several days. I mean, there'll be many good hours where you can get out there and enjoy the warmth and humidity. We'll have a lake breeze each day, tempering the heat a bit at the shoreline, as it has very nicely for us for a number of days. But it's going to be muggy, and we've got air quality issues, too.
God.
So
no, don't I always. All right. thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it,
guys.
All right, our best to Waldo.
Hi to the dogs.
Yeah. I'm sure he would want me to say hi, and the girls would too. So.
Yeah,
sure.
Anyway, guys,
thank you. Violetta Pottermedics at the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
I think we learned a lot right there from Tom Skilling.
We did. Well, we knew he was an animal lover.
Yep.
He's got several rescues in his house, including a cat, a little cat.
Kitty.
A
little kitty named Waldo. Although it sounds like it's now a fully grown cat, but he does not want to part with the notion of a kitty.
That's so sweet.
The guy's got a heart the size of of the city of Chicago.
Tremendous. Yeah. That's why the city loves him.
All right. Did you do what you had to do right there? Because I got to tell
did.
You about a pair of
I
tickets
did.
To the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel. That starts on Friday, runs through Sunday, and coming up in after 4:40, let's call it that. After 4:40, I've got a pair of tickets for you right there to join us. We're going to be doing the show there on Friday from 3 to 7. Very exciting. Mr. Cochran is going to be there as well. Because he and Mr. Ennett, you know them. I have to call them
Go
back.
Go Cats.
Because they're from the morning show. Thank you, Kev.
Love them.
Go Cats are going to be... they're going to be at the big convention too. They're going to be broadcasting the opening ceremonies at 5:00 from the convention.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And may I just say who our first guest is at 3:10 in the afternoon when we start the show?
Also, kind
deal.
Of a big deal.
Mr. Jonathan Toews,
none other.
Number 19. He's the reason that everything is number 19 on this show because he is our captain.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
That is awesome. How exciting is that?
Really is.
Yep.
I love how when everyone, you know, he'll show up and we'll have so many people there, and then as soon as he goes away, everyone will walk away too.
It's true. They're all here for us. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Like at the Draft Fest when Rocky was with us,
yes.
It was a huge crowd of
100
people.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And I look back up and I'm like, by the way, come back.
Hey, where'd everybody go?
The show's great.
Hey.
We're
still on.
The show's awesome, I promise.
And we're going to talk to Tom Skilling about his kitty. Coming up on the phone.
How's that for a tease?
Is that okay?
Waldo is his name.
Waldo!
No?
Okay, thanks. See you. Bye.
Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun on Friday. It's always great. The Hawks put on a party. That's the one thing you need to know.
They do it right. They don't do a thing unless they do it right.
That is very, very true.
We saw that with the draft, too. Right. Oh, my gosh.
We have got Judy Pilak. Working diligently on the WGN news. It's coming your way in about 2 minutes. But then there might be a little bit of a pause in between the introduction and Judy. That's just how we do around here. That's how we roll.
Well, either on my end or your end. You never know.
It's circular. Back on you.
See, right. That's what she just did.
That's quick, Anna.
Sorry.
That's on you.
That's on you. You know, that's right. You said it first.
Getting out my super soaker and soak away all of the mistruths.
Dude, watch out. I'm going to wash the dirty lies out of your mouth.
There you go.
And that's what Judy's going to do, coming your way in 2.5 minutes. I want a man with a skull. Makes a lot more sense now. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't understand that song. Now I get it.
Yeah, man, do you?
Yeah, I do. Now, I guess the question here, there's a story. There's a great debate that we're going to get into in just 1 second about O.J. Tomorrow, O.J. is going before the parole board. He may be paroled tomorrow. He'll get out October 1st.
9 years he served.
After
right,
9 years for the botched robbery, or as he would say, just trying to get his blank back. It's just
his stuff. Just his stuff.
Yeah. His stuff back. This is my stuff.
But
I want to get my stuff back.
Guys with them threatening, and they had a gun. That's the hard part of the whole story.
Yes, but the guy with the gun didn't go to jail.
It's
O.J.
true,
went for 33 years.
OJ. Oh yeah. Let me explain what happened.
Yeah, O.J. was going to go, and he's definitely going to he was going to kidnap everybody. Really? 33 years. And by the way, he might have also killed a couple of people, but we're not sure.
Even the judge who extended that sentence of a crazy 33 years, many might say, believed that he was a murderer and said that.
So there's a big O.J. controversy today. We'll tell you about what it is in just a second here.
Boy.
But well, first, I can't wait for this.
Oh, wait.
It's super
do you know the story? You know the story I'm going
yes,
for here?
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
I was hoping you're
going to see how I'm going to do this?
Yeah, this finesse is going to be
pretty darn good here.
Watch me work here. This is going to be something.
Mm-hmm. Now work it. Work it.
But first, let me just say, to the 19th caller at 312-981-7200, you get tickets to the big Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel. That's going on this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Stop by, join our live broadcast on Friday from 3 to 7, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. 312-981-7200, 19th caller.
Did you do 19 because Jonathan Taves had joined the show at 310 Friday?
Yes. Thank you.
Well done, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Putting the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. At 320, actually.
320.
Yeah. All right, here's the OJ story. Now, the New York Post reported this earlier today.
The New York Post. Never one to have a splashy headline or story that later proves to not be correct.
Don't say splashy. O.J. Simpson's parole bid could be derailed because he was caught pleasuring himself in his cell.
Seen it 100 times. I want a man with a
skull. Now, that is, according to the New York Post, a federal lockup no-no.
Who would have known?
Which is really kind of ridiculous.
I feel like it's dangerous not to.
This lewd behavior is strictly forbidden at Lovelock Correctional Center, which is why they call it Lovelock.
Great name.
Lock up your love before you get in.
Yeah. Where Simpson's been holed up for the last 9 years. Again, this is New York Post writing. I get what they're doing here. I want to stop to the writer,
it's
and I want to say to Lisa Ustowich, who wrote this, I get what you did there. I see what you did there. OJ is facing a disciplinary hearing after being written up for pleasuring himself in his prison cell, a prison source told the Daily Mail. He was caught by a female corrections officer making her normal rounds in late June. Now, this was I think one day before. This comes out one day before the parole hearing. There's also a story that he stole a cookie, too.
Which, come on. What is, like, that's the matter at this point?
Is that is that code for something? Oh. I'm going to go steal the cookie right now.
No, I think he just stole a cookie. Plain and simple.
I don't know.
He was eating a cookie, which was also not supposed to be done.
Man, you know, they're strict in prison.
Well, that's why they call it prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of rules.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they have cookies in prison.
Yeah. Now comes, as soon as I heard this story, I'm like, how is that against the rules in prison?
Although there are stories that talk about there has been a study that there are actual many cases. There are situations, North Carolina, for example, a violation to touch oneself, and they go into all the different violations, the disciplinary actions that could be taken. Ohio prohibits seductive or obscene acts, including said act you're talking about. Kentucky has a law. California.
I mean, if you're
too.
Doing it like in the middle of the day room, yeah, probably that's a problem.
The cafeteria,
that's
a problem.
Probably a problem in the cafeteria. But
in
I mean,
in front of a female guard, maybe.
But if you're in your own cell and you don't expect the guard to show up there,
right. Can a guy get a little privacy?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not in prison.
What is that? You're supposed to.
Not.
What are you supposed to do? I would imagine, but I mean, I would imagine incidents of violence would be way up if you strictly enforce that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Guys get tense. They get nutty.
Leave some stress.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Hear what I'm saying here? Anybody?
A lot of prisoners in a bad mood.
In prison, they're always in every prison movie, they're always in a bad mood.
Well, now you know
why.
Well,
now you know exactly.
But OJ's been the model citizen. We had Ashley Banfield on yesterday, who's followed this case like you have from the start in the 90s. And she said they've been tracking everything about him and his conduct for these 9 years. And there's not even a single citation.
Not
on
a single
him.
Demerit.
He's done anything.
There's no one else who's been in there for 9 years who has not had a demerit.
He stole a cookie.
He didn't. Now, here's the thing. Now, this just breaking. Nevada Corrections spokesman calls the OJ self-pleasure story fake news.
Wow.
Public information officer of the Nevada Department of Corrections has told Law News that the Daily Mail report that OJ Simpson received a disciplinary write-up for in his cell is inaccurate. It's total fake news. There's no truth to it. The fake news thing is catching on. That scares me. That's the most disturbing part of this whole story.
It is, because it went viral. It wasn't just like one or two news organizations picked it up. A lot of people ran with it.
Well, you want, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
but it started out pretty fake news-ish.
It didn't meet the smell test.
Yeah, it's not like it was in my newscast.
Oh, God, please.
Okay, I'm not going to mean that. There's nothing I can say.
No.
I mean, it's like...
OJ is, so it turns out that, you know, whatever OJ was doing, whether he was or he wasn't is irrelevant. He's just fine. Although now, if he gets paroled tomorrow and he gets up to go like shake the hands of all the, are they all going to go? No, no, it's all right.
Pass the Purell. Yeah. Pass the Purell,
right.
Please.
Good. No, no, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
All right, it's all good.
Yeah. But that's the thing. All the bets are that he might just get paroled tomorrow, right? I mean, they're looking at his age. He's 70. They look at his conduct during prison, exemplary prior criminal.
Right.
Convictions.
High likelihood.
Actually,
high likelihood he's going to get off tomorrow. Here is Violetta Podomatic with the WGN traffic trouble spots. Yes, the Roe Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis,
yes.
Right here on 720 WGN.
We just saw Ice-T walking up and down
Ice
Michigan.
Cube.
Ice Cube. Different. Ice Cube. Mr. Cube, not Mr. T. And that's different, too. Ice Cube.
Actually, if you get Ice Cube, Ice T, and Arnold Palmer all into a into a drink, and Yakov Smirnoff, it is an Arnold Palmer.
Huh. That's how it works.
John Daly.
Oh, it's a John Daly, right. Thank you. I blew my own joke.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
I got your back.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
oh, God, I love you. All right. Is it time now?
Yes.
I think it might be for this moment that has become so, well, connected to our show.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Roe Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Roe Khan Show. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. Checking in at
number 5.
Kid Rock is getting a big endorsement and a big thumbs down.
Oh.
Even before he officially runs for the Senate.
Rock, Senate. He's going Senate first.
KidRockForSenate.com has been launched. And he posted campaign signs all over social media. No less a political figure of great prominence than Herman Cain. Remember him?
Sure, we remember him. He was involved with an
Illinois woman. 9-9-9. That was his plan.
It's easy to remember.
And then it was a great place. We had Herman Cain on a number of times, actually, mm-hmm. over the old place. And Herman Cain was a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden, then you had that woman from Chicago who jumped up and claimed that Herman Cain had made inappropriate passes at her over multiple periods of time.
And that's all it took back then.
Yes. Right.
Back then.
Think how the world has changed. Now Herman Cain could be elected emperor of the world if that were the standard.
Quite possible.
Herman Cain gave his thoughts on Kid Rock's political aspirations.
Kid Rock, running for Senate. Do you like the idea?
It's a joke. He's not going to get elected. People may criticize politicians, but they still are going to be serious about who they vote for.
Oh, yeah, and Caitlyn Jenner's running, too.
Exactly. That's another joke.
You know, you have credibility, you don't think Caitlyn's going to ever, like...
Nah. Yeah, not going to gain any traction. You got to get traction. I know because I've been there.
He's got to know a thing or two.
Listen, he's not wrong. Herman Cain gained traction.
He did.
And isn't Samantha Bee's, I believe it is, her campaign bus that, you know, like, she traveled? We saw it a couple times on the road last year. During the election thing. It's Herman Cain's old campaign bus.
I bet it's a nice one.
Yeah.
But, Kid Rock for Senate.com. I'm on the page.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him sitting in a red, white, like a patriotic chair with a deer, a stuffed deer. And he says, "Are you scared?" is the tagline. That's his campaign so far. Are you scared?
The answer is yes. Yes. Are you scared? That's
of
this.
Him.
Is this how American politics is going to be? Just fear and loathing? Is that it?
Who are you the least afraid of?
I mean, that is not the way America. America's not built on fear and loathing. America's built on confidence and bravery and stepping up in adversity and doing the right thing, even when we haven't always done the right thing. We've corrected ourselves. We're self-correcting.
Doing what's right for the country.
Right.
Love oneself.
And the people, and we've saved the world on multiple occasions. But what? Okay, wait. Where is Herman Cain on all this Russia news?
That's a nothing burger. That's a nothing burger.
It's a Russia. Nothing burger. Nothing burger.
All right, I'll stop. Russia
yes.
is a nothing burger. Don Jr. meeting another nothing burger. Nothing's going to come out of it. It's just a distraction tactic by the libs and the Democrats.
It's my new
Is he saying burger
term.
Or booger?
I think he's saying nothing booger. But it's but the point is that's become, when you hear somebody say nothing burger, that's a talking point. That literally, someone at the White House thought that was a good idea to turn that into the term, the countervailing term for the story. Nothing burger. And I don't know if it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I don't remember who said it first.
It's big in politics right now. Both Democrats and Republicans use it.
And now the burger bar in D.C. is offering free nothing burgers. Did you guys see that?
Good to hear the food news. Thanks,
yeah,
Kevin.
You got it.
So
what are you here for?
Free nothing burgers.
Two buns, no meat, right?
Yeah. No, there's a meat on it. Just meat and two buns. That's it. Or the bun. Nothing else. Lettuce, tomato, pickle.
Oh, it's a nothing burger.
Right.
It's a total nothing burger.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's the sort of insight
so
I bring to the table here.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, the nothing burger. All right, checking in at
number four.
President Trump says inaction is not an option, pressing Republicans to send a health care bill to his desk, replacing Obamacare before they go on recess. He had the GOP senators, 52 of them, back over to the White House, or 51, because obviously John McCain was not there.
So
he had them all over to lunch at the White House. He criticized Democrats as obstructionists. It's all their fault. And then touted the benefits of the GOP health care plan, even though he doesn't exactly know what the details of it are. Actually, they don't even know what the details are.
Right. I heard one of the senators say, "Why we repeal it, but we have no idea what we're going to replace it with, and that's a good idea."
Republicans are, quote, according to the president, very close to reaching a deal.
I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand. Believe me, I'm sitting in that office. I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because he's acknowledging something that is the reality, which is that it was always a basically a staged execution, right? A mock execution every time that the House or Senate would vote to repeal Obamacare. They were just doing it so they get on the record for their own constituents that they did it.
Yep.
But they that, oh, yeah, well, I voted to repeal it seven times or whatever it was.
Sure.
But they knew it wasn't going to happen. So they knew that they didn't have to come up with a plan. It was just a big mannequin. It
Much
was
harder to have a plan that you have to live with, that people have to weigh in on. The new just this afternoon, the news came out that the 32 million would lose health insurance by 2026 if the Affordable Care Act is repealed and not replaced. That's the CBO score.
Well, right. But, I mean, it can't be repealed and not replaced. Something has to go in
but
its place.
2 years. I mean, I don't know what happens.
Or not. I guess you could just go back to the old system. But the old system doesn't exist anymore, so they'd have to rebuild the old system. The private industry would have to rebuild the old system. And a lot of people would be lost and cut up in the gears in the meantime. And then things like portability of insurance, the you know that 26-year-old staying on your insurance. I mean, some of those things might be available, but they'd be very expensive. And then the idea of pre-existing conditions, that would not be a mandate. And so that means that health insurance for people who are sick would be almost impossible to purchase. So you got that going for it.
Yeah. So the Congress should stay in Washington until healthcare is done. No vacations, the president says.
And the president also pointed out he does not like people who are getting in his way.
The other night, I was very surprised when I heard a couple of my friends, they really were and are. They might not be very much longer, but that's okay. I think I have to get
that's
them back.
That's right.
I refuse. Well, no, you didn't go out there. This was the one we were worried about. You weren't there, but you're going to be. You're going to be. Look, he wants to remain a senator, doesn't he? Okay.
Okay, so he's talking to, that's Senator Heller from Nevada, who is seated next to him, which is one of the guys who, in a moment of moderation in Heller's career here, he's siding with the governor of Nevada, who likes Obamacare, mm-hmm. because it's working in Nevada. It's one of the states it is working in. And because what they've done is they've turned the Medicare money around, and they work that as an offset. And it's one of the places, and you know, for a bunch of other reasons, Nevada is not that populated of a state outside of Clark County. And they have, and you know, there's higher employment rates in Nevada now again, and it's in so that they were able to balance this thing. So Heller is it's a Republican state now, but it is it's one of those things where the Heller was siding with his own governor, saying I because the governor was like don't vote against this. So then Trump or don't vote to tear this thing down, and then Trump was like you know, you want to be a senator? You want to be a senator?
Huh?
All right. So we have the Violetta Powdermedic, or Triumphant Return, has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays, 10 p.m. WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right. Top 5 at 5 continues right here. Keska say.
Number 3.
Snoop Dogg, UFC broadcasting GOAT, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. Video of Snoop Dogg going crazy for fighter Sean O'Malley on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series surfaced after O'Malley...
One punch?
One punch KOs his opponent.
Oh, knockout?
Yep. Snoop absolutely loses his mind.
Hands down to his side. This
O'Malley
is
combination. Three-piece dinner with biscuits. O'Malley!
Oh!
O'Malley! O'Malley!
Oh, yeah.
O'Malley! O'Malley!
Boy, that's the most excited I've ever heard him. He's so mellow.
Maybe his doctors told him to lay off the ganj.
Maybe that's what it is.
Is that what
you just don't see it? It doesn't happen after you never see him that way.
No,
and he hangs out with Martha Stewart, his pal. He's still very chill. does all those appearances. Is that the weirdest combo?
He's just the weirdest combo. He's the strangest combo in all of entertainment. He is what he is. All right, checking in at
number two.
Let me see that thong.
Oh, you haven't lived. You have not lived until you've seen your sweet little innocent 10-year-old sing that song in the backseat of the car.
Hopefully not knowing what it means.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, that was Cisco. You remember Cisco? Mm-hmm. God, what year was that? Like 2004, 3?
It was earlier than
2002?
1999 debut album.
1999?
Yeah, originally featured on Jam. Unleash the Dragon.
Featuring O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Cisco released an official 2017 update. Wow, 18 years later. Thong Song is now old enough to vote.
About
and
time.
To date R. Kelly.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh my gosh. Almost too old.
With the help of Norwegian production trio, GC, along with a music video accompaniment that is Surprise Surprise, mainly... shots of women and their butts.
Let me see that thong. Let me your booty go, baby. I like it when you show that thong, 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 thong. I like it when the beat go. Let me make your booty go.
Okay. So now an entire new generation of 10-year-olds in the backseat are going to be singing this song.
And maybe asking for one.
Yeah.
Sure he'll cash in.
And finally.
Number one.
Well, I can add O.J. Simpson to the list of people Caitlyn Jenner hasn't seen in a while.
Has anybody seen O.J.?
Well, prison guards. And apparently one of the female prison guards might have seen too much of O.J. The reality star who famously lost touch with multiple members of the Kardashian family, revealed to Jimmy Kimmel Live that she hasn't seen the former football star I'd say about 9 years, probably.
When was the last time you saw OJ?
At the funeral.
Okay, so OJ may be getting out of prison on Thursday. How great would it be if you showed up and picked OJ up at that? I mean, it's like... I will go with you if you.
Would you go?
Absolutely. You know, if you go on a motorcycle, I'll be in the sidecar.
There you go. There you go. Pick OJ up on a motorcycle with you on the side in the sidecar. Yes. OJ on the back.
I just want to know: does OJ know about the fact that this is now Caitlyn? Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn Jenner?
But they showed what his life has been like over the last 9 years, and there was on cable news, I think it was CNN, they talked about how he has a TV in his cell, but that he was asked if he had seen The People versus OJ, and he had not. He had not seen any of that.
You only get open air signals. Right.
So, but Caitlyn Jenner's been on everywhere, so
he probably knows about that.
Think, maybe.
Yeah.
No Netflix and chill.
Well,
no, but he's found a way.
Well, if they have cookies, I hope they have newspapers.
I don't know. Do they want you to know that? I just imagine OJ's response to this. It's probably not going to be good. Because, I mean, he knew Bruce Jenner he was the stepdad to the Kardashian kids who OJ knew because Rob Kardashian, their father, was Robert Kardashian, their father, was one of his attorneys.
Close to him.
Very
personally.
Close. He was very close to everybody in that family. And then, you know, along came Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner.
If OJ wants to do a reality show, he could certainly sign himself.
The two of them together is a buddy thing getting across the country. And we could just call it Oh Hell No. I think that would be the name of that show.
That's beautiful.
All right. You know what it's time to do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The top five at five.
And It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Proudly broadcasting from America's one and only 24 hours a day, 7 days a week local broadcasting station. Only one in America that does it. That's something
treasure.
To think about. Yep. And an absolute Chicago treasure. It's an honor to be here. Mm-hmm. And thank you for making us one of the most listened to afternoon shows in America. I want to thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
That is a very it's a great honor that we find ourselves in. And we also would like to welcome Violetta Podramatic back to the show after she disappeared for 2 weeks, taken hostage, I'm told, by, gypsies. We think it was gypsies. We're not 100% sure.
That was my family.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
So you can't. That's not a crime.
Sorry. I guess it isn't.
No.
But I didn't totally come back legal. With earrings or my necklace.
Headscarf?
Did you come back married?
No. Oh. Not enough goats.
They didn't provide enough goats.
You gotta up that dowry a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Because and also the only guy available in the village was the village idiot. And
he lives by the cemetery. I thought it was a little creepy.
Yeah, and she's like, you know what? I'll come back in a couple of years when we can find someone else.
Right. It's like the story of like Belle and Gaston.
Right.
In the village. She doesn't want to be with Gaston.
Right, exactly.
All
he's
my
a village
friends,
idiot.
All my friends are married. They have like two kids.
Dragon, the village idiot, is...
Dragon. His name alone scared you.
Right.
Right? You lost him.
Isn't he in Game of Thrones?
He might be, yeah, but he was also is. Not... He was... and even he was like, don't want traffic.
How many goats?
Don't Sir want John. Traffic. Yes. Right? It was like... And when Bronco didn't show up with enough goats for him... And Bronco only had three, as it turned out. And they were all, they already cooked them, which is not good. That was a problem.
That's not how it works. Yeah. No.
Dragon, 110 goat, alive.
Yeah, they're not worth as much cooked.
Five boy, five girl. Goat. To make baby goat.
It was a good time.
Yeah,
good
sounds time like, sounds like you had a good time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You had a good time. Were you polishing the well? Make it a little more slippery for people you didn't like? Anything going on there?
No, but I didn't get very close to wells because now you've made me terrified of them.
Yes, well, actually, you made us terrified of them. Now we learned in her village that's a tradition to throw the people that I don't like down the well. It's kind of what goes on.
No, that's not. It's a very nice little quaint village.
And your grandmother's fine? Everybody's good?
Yeah, my grandma's fine. Miss her already.
Aww.
We got her a new bed, so she was happy about that. She was sleeping on the couch.
I was sort of imagining, I was imagining like a loft with hay. I don't know why. I even thought that there
might... those are our neighbors, okay. Which also have a smell that comes from there.
Yeah, how many goats
yard.
For a bed?
Yeah. How many goats do your neighbors have?
No, they don't have goats. They have a pig actually.
Not
and,
anymore.
And chickens.
Not anymore. After
my grandma did.
You guys had that feast.
Yeah, my grandma did get a pig on a spit for us, but it was a baby pig.
Oh.
From the next door neighbors?
Or no, was it... not from the neighbors.
Vegetarians are listening.
Them. It was delicious.
Children are listening. So did you like being there?
We do eat pigs, though.
I know,
Anna.
I know. But do you want to hear about
baby
it?
Ones?
Do you want to hear?
Yeah, no, baby pig. You're eating a lot of baby pig, actually, if you want to know the truth.
That's the better taste.
No, that I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Some things are better left unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
But did you like being there, seeing the grandma, being back in the homeland?
Was that a pig?
Oh, gosh. You guys.
I took a picture with a pig, too, at our village.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
Alive or cooked?
It was alive. Two of them in a little crate. They were selling them. My grandma didn't bite. I wanted one.
The pig did, though, which was kind of funny.
It was a good time. It's always nice to see family because they're all there during the summer. The village fills up, you know.
Oh, no.
And we went to a monastery, checked that out, and saw someone.
It's so hard to concentrate
it
on
is,
the story.
It is, with that sound in the background.
Is
it
there
was
just little
time.
Goats and, like, pigs running around everywhere?
No, a lot of stray dogs, though.
Oh.
But they're adorable, and you want to touch them. They're really well-behaved.
Your grandma cook one of those for you, too?
No, we don't actually feast on dog.
I was just asking. I don't know. They do that.
Wrong part
it's
of the
protein.
World.
It's protein. Yeah.
Plus, they
it's
probably
China.
Have.
I mean, you gotta call
fleas.
The herd.
What did? Oh my God! Did what did the what what like the stray dogs? I mean, are they in packs? What are they? What goes on there?
Yeah, and they're not really afraid of people. You know, they're just trying to look for some love
and some food. Really, is what they're looking for.
Right. Yeah. So if we ever had leftover food at the restaurant, we'd throw it to them.
At the restaurant there? Do you have a restaurant there too?
No, not there. No.
There's called Little Chicago. There.
I want to open up a restaurant.
Little Bucharest here, Little Chicago there. That works. You serve like pizza.
Yeah,
and stuff.
They could use some American food. All they eat is meat, cheese, and bread.
That's awesome.
There's no lettuce. You can't get a salad anywhere. All they eat is like cabbage with like, you know.
And that smell. That's why the people next door smell so funny.
No, it might be their pig pen.
Their pig pen.
Yeah, pig pen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, it was a good time. Good time. Good time. Mm-hmm. A lot of family visiting.
Okay, very good. No one tried to marry you off to a cousin or anything like that, right?
Third cousin removed. It's far enough, I guess.
Yeah. We stay.
I didn't realize he was my third cousin.
We stay in family.
But it was nice. We rented a car this time around, so we were able to kind of drive around and bring my grandma around when the goats weren't available.
So your third cousin shows up with four goats. Is this enough for marrying
trying
American
to
girl?
Complete that transaction.
I go back at fifth goat. One goat is pregnant, so maybe it's with little baby goats.
Two times.
So then we
have 2-for-1.
It's 2-for-1, yes.
See, I love goats, but I bet they don't do like goat yoga and all those things that they do here.
No, no.
No, no, no,
no,
not so much.
No, no. I don't think goat
really
with yogurt
with
maybe, but not goat not goat yoga, no.
So the big problem this time around is my grandma's light on our little street that we live on was out.
That's the street light.
Well, it's a street light, yeah, but so that was out. We don't
I
have...
sort of think that calling it a street light might be making it
right.
fancier
it's
than
not.
It is.
It's
a flame? You just had to pull your Bic lighter and relight it for him?
No, you can barely fit a car down this little street. So anyway, that was
and
out.
Calling it a street might be an overstatement.
Well, I don't know what to call it.
Is it
dirt road?
Is it dirt?
Yeah, it's dirt road.
Yeah,
rocks.
Okay.
So that
cobblestone
was
or like just rocks?
No, like pebbles.
Pebbles, rocks.
Rocks
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Sharp pebble
mm-hmm.
rocks. And
we'd call that here dirt road or a driveway.
No,
maybe.
Well, it's not our personal driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is actually a super highway in Serbia right now.
The express lane. Up on the express lane up to the village.
So we were trying to get that light replaced, and I'm talking to the village coordinator. I'm like, hey, you know, my grandma can't see when she's getting home. What can we do? He's like, well, it's kind of a problem. We need 20 lights in the village to be out. I'm like, this village doesn't even have 20 lights for someone to come from the main town to change the light. Mm-hmm. So then we had
to. So what did you have to do?
Well, we just hired someone to do it. But then the neighbors were like, well, is he, you know, is he doing it right?
Is this code?
No.
I don't understand this story.
Actually, they want to know if he's Serbian. They want to make sure that they're not bringing in, you know, some like. Some other, some like Croatian or some other person from around the world, you know, he's Macedonian. We throw down well, right? Something like that.
Yeah, no, but
you're right on the Romanian border too, right?
Yeah.
So are they, is this an ethnically Romanian or Serbian town?
It is mixed right now. Most people avoid
speaking.
That's
going to be trouble.
Yeah, they avoid speaking. Well, we don't speak full on Romanian. We speak Vlaški.
Sure, why not?
So it's a dialect of Romanian,
mm-hmm.
and they avoid doing that. Only like the old folk speak Vlaški or Romanian and mostly stick to Serbian to keep it traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and keep themselves from getting killed, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's nice because, you know, you can travel back and forth between the borders pretty easily there. So you can go to Romania for a night.
Not till I build my wall.
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Did you try to explain to your relatives there that what you do and how you do traffic in the city? And I imagine that's not really a job.
Right. No, I was trying to explain
that's true.
A traffic report. But
we have one traffic light.
They're all very excited. No, we don't have a traffic light in my village. But it is really nice driving there because they're very lenient about pretty much anything you do. And there's like two police officers probably.
I'm sure they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was nice. I was just driving wherever, whenever, parking also the same way. But they're impressed. They liked. They find me on Google and they're like, "Hey, we see you do videos."
But do they understand your job?
No, not really. But they understand radio, so they know that I'm on the radio. Radio
is generally guys talking about how great Milosevic is, right? Or was.
Something like that.
That kind of what the, like, you know, the radio there is, it's pop, I'll bet you it's a ton of EDM, right?
Yeah.
Ton of EDM music.
With goats and pigs in the background.
Right. And then But this is like a traffic. This would be a traffic report in your little town of Podramatic, Serbia. This would be it, and it would be sort of like, you know, there's goat crossing dirt road, cart broken down on the right side, police action because Macedonian found in town.
American girl brought her to change light. Grandma's so crossing the road.
Yes.
Grandma. Oh, actually, that was pretty funny. There was a chicken crossing the road when I was driving, and I had to slow down intensely fast. And my sister and I were laughing, like, why did the chicken cross the road? To avoid getting smushed.
To avoid getting slaughtered by your grandma.
Yeah, run. Pretty much.
Exactly.
Run.
Running away from pig and goat farm. How many chickens would you go for, do you think? It's going to be a lot for
chickens,
you, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to be like 100 chickens.
I mean, I'm also, I come with a visa, American visa.
Oh, so that's like 200 chickens.
That's
a kicker.
Lot.
Yeah, that's going to be that. Right now, you know, with an American visa, and you know, you're an American citizen, so this would,
that
I mean.
That is true, I am.
That's going to get, which is a surprise to all of us. that's you know what? You're probably going to bring 20 goats, be my guess.
Yeah, that's why they're waiting for the best offer, I think.
Right. Yeah.
That is what it sounds like when I was going to bed.
That's hard to sleep, though.
And the rooster's already going.
And this one, the Macedonian, finally was tried.
Always guilty.
You're guilty of being Macedonian.
Wow, okay. Those goats are getting a little crazy.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to make more goats so that someone can afford you. See, I'm not quite sure who gets. I think he gets the goats, right? In Serbia, gets you and the goats.
Yeah, it's probably a dowry thing.
That's a very angry goat back there. Yeah, yeah. He's in order to take you in. So, but with the American visa, you're probably down to 5 goats then. It's sort of like that. It's she's got a visa plus 5 goats. Are we? Do we have a deal? I know you're her cousin.
See, that's
so
weird.
So you're gonna have to. You have to work this out.
Oh, right. God.
Weird.
Okay. It's really not that crazy there, but it is a
different
life.
Sounds great. It sounds very picturesque. All right, here is Violetta Podomatic.
In America.
Or as she's now known as 5 Goats with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
I think I'm worth more than that, but that might be why I'm not married. Inbound Kennedy's 1 hour 10 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, about 55 minutes on the flip. The Edens inbound also struggling at 45 minutes Lakewood Road to the junction. No delays outbound at 16. If you want traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Oh, yep, those stray dogs acting up. I'm Violetta Podramatic in WGN Traffic Central.
Alright, it's the Rokan Show with Hannah DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Big 6 o'clock hour coming up.
Yep.
We got Sheriff Tom Dart is going to join us. Mm-hmm. There might be some new identifications of John Gacy victims. I mean, you know, here we are 40 years later.
Yeah.
And almost 40 years later. And you have perhaps victims finally being identified and families being notified. And his office has been working on this a lot. We'll also ask him about this controversy, growing controversy, too, that's going on where, you know, the county beverage tax, you know about this, where the sugar tax they're trying to do? And it's been held up in the courts. And now they're asking all these county agencies, including the sheriff's department, to cut their budgets by 25%.
And how do you do that in these tight budget times? What suffers?
And how do they know what they were going to get in the tax anyway? I mean, that was the.
I think they were, you know, they did analysis and
they were counting on money that you know, and they were to turn this around. It's such a political stunt, I think, on behalf of the county board president here to ask them to cut 25%. I mean, you know, of all the places to cut, you really want to cut the sheriff's office in a crime crisis in Chicago? That's what you want to do? Those are the people responsible for jailing the people.
Yeah.
That are getting arrested by the Chicago Police Department or any of the other law enforcement agencies in the county. And this is where you want to cut?
Well, and Sheriff Dart has pointed out himself, after all the cuts to mental health, he's running the largest mental health facility in the county now because a lot of people who would normally be in that system are now in his.
Right. So, I mean, it's anyway, we'll talk to him about that. And then Bob Baer is going to join us, formerly of the CIA, most decorated publicly acknowledged CIA officer in that agency's history, in the company's history, as they like to call it there, to talk about the Syria situation where the Trump has just pulled out of the arming the Syrian rebels. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, here he is, the hardest working man in all of law enforcement. One might argue.
I would say that's probably close to right.
Or show business. I'm not sure which way you want to look at it. Here he is, Sheriff, yeah. Sheriff Tom Dart is with us from the Cook County. All right, a lot to get to. First of all, let's go back to the announcement that you made a little bit earlier today. There's been another identification of a Gacy victim, right?
Yeah, you know, Ro, we've kept this going on since we announced it 5-6 years ago, where we, you know, one detective who, you know, part time works on this, and as leads come in, he works them up, and sometime in March, a individual was researching an uncle that he had never met and saw the work we'd been doing, thought about potential connections that he'd heard of in his family background, got a hold of his dad and his mom, or his aunt, who would have been the sibling of the missing uncle, got him to put some DNA, allowed us to go swab him for DNA, put it into the database, and sure enough, it turned out it was his uncle that was the victim, John Gacy. And so, I mean, it's one of those things, Ro, that it is, yeah, it's so horribly sad because for these fans, since we've been doing this, we've been coming across some people we found that are alive, actually, who just went off the grid but fit the profile, possibly. And those families, you know, had, you know, their worst dreams, we burst it, didn't happen, he's still alive. For all these other folks, in the back of their mind, they have thought long and hard about how the most horrific death they can imagine for their loved one could have occurred. And unfortunately, that's what we had to break to the family last night. So it's, you know, from a law enforcement, you want to close cases up, but boy, is it heartbreaking.
I bet. Sheriff, in this case, was it that the family had just, back in the day, submitted, didn't have dental records or the kinds of records it needed, they needed in order to help?
Yeah, exactly. And it was his mother, Jimmy's mother, actually came into Chicago in 79, so shortly after Gacy was arrested, and inquired because she had concerns that her son was a individual who was in the area where Gacy was grabbing people and murdering them. And so she came there, but she had no dental records. And so there was nothing really that I could have been done at that point. And so it just sort of laid there until we got the outreach from the aunt and uncle about a month ago or so.
You know, there's so many questions when you think about the mechanics of how these things, you know, have gone down now over the last close to 40 years. First of all, where were the remains stored?
You know, that's the thing, Ro, this whole thing has been just this onion you sort of peel back. And as you're peeling back, in true Cook County fashion, nothing good pops up as you're peeling this thing back. But what had happened was because at that point in time in the 70s, they knew they had 8 unidentified victims. They, at that point, dental records were the only way to identify people, so they had extracted the mandible bones, the jaw bones, from all of the 8 unidentified. They put them in cartons that resembled something like chicken buckets, to be honest with you. I saw them. They kept those in the ME's office for decades. Well, the rest of the bodies of the victims were all buried in graves throughout Cook County. They were all donated by very, very, you know, neat people, and a grave with a headstone saying never to be forgotten. And, you know, then life moved on. Well, as we started moving on this, we knew we needed to get DNA from the victim, so we went looking for the mandible bones, which for decades had been in a closet at the ME's office, only to find out that some brain surgeon over there, literally months before we kicked this off, decided that was a good time to bury the mandible bones, where they would bury all the other unidentified and the paupers and the indigent. And so that's when they were digging just literally a huge hole out of the cemetery and were just dumping bodies in there. So we had to, best we can, go find where they had dumped these mandible bones. And I'll never forget, I was out there all day with my folks, and we were digging and coming across some really, really unpleasant things because they were not in the right spot because they didn't mark anything correctly. But we eventually, after going through some really nasty stuff, found the mandible bones, and we were able to extract DNA from 4 of the 8 The other four, we weren't able to get DNA, enough DNA out of it. So we then had to go and exhume those four bodies to get DNA. We put them into this database that North Texas operates, and they've been doing all this for free. And with that, as the DNA is coming in now, we've been matching it up. And so this is number two of the eight. So it's been pretty successful in trying to close out things that are no one ever thought we'd ever close one of them out, let alone two now.
I don't want to be too grotesque about this, but so as you guys were digging, you found these mandible bones in these like chicken buckets? That's how you knew they were the mandible bones that were secured?
Yes. Yes, wow. We knew what we were looking for, but it was one of those things where we weren't sure exactly where they put them, because that was, they say, well, back in the day when the county buried people, they literally threw them in this hole. They were 16 people deep. They were supposed to, by law, ordinance, only supposed to be two deep. It was 16 people deep. The boxes were all broken open. They were mixing in animal parts. They were missing in stillborn fetuses from the hospital. It was not good. And so we were very fortunate to find the mandibles at all. But the fact they had just done this was able to allow us to get there.
And
to find
who, and I'm sorry, I hate to start a new story with an old story, but actually I don't. Who is responsible for the burials there?
Yeah, it's the medical examiner's office through the county board. They put out a contract. It's been rectified. Once we came across this train wreck, we went to Springfield. We had a couple laws changed, but more importantly, we changed the ordinances in Cook County so that this could never happen again.
Well, obviously, this goes back to the Baroque situation, right, where you guys
all the, you know, roll all this stuff just kept building on each other. It was not supposed to roll out this way. I mean, literally, this whole thing started when I became sheriff. I said, listen, I want to, put some effort into cold cases because, now we have new technologies. Let's do it. And this Detective Moran, who's unreal, came in and said, our largest number of cold cases are from the gay scene. I was like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, there was eight people that are never identified. And so that was all happening just after Baroque. And so we had gotten involved with this, and it just kept snowballing. And with the Gacy victims thing, it's something where the more we dug into it, we also found out all sorts of new things about Gacy that different people had mentioned at different times but had never really put a lot of time into, because once again, this is the 1970s, but this guy traveled extensively around the country that a lot of people never talked about, and the notion that he wasn't killing around the country is absurd. He absolutely was. And is there ways to prove all that? No, but were we finding wallets of people from like Florida down there? In his house, we were. And so this thing just kept building and building on things that we were working on.
Was this family, the reaction from this family, I imagine it is their worst nightmare come true to think about that kind of a horrifying situation, but maybe some closure comes from this? Was there, I don't even have that conversation with that family, really.
Yeah, and it's tricky because the family really sweet people, and they loved their brother. Their mom was, wanting to bring closure before she passed away. She passed away, I think, about 8 or 9 years ago now. So she wasn't able to get that. And so, we're happy to bring closure, but to what end? To literally walk into someone's house and say, yeah, your worst nightmare? Yeah, that's what happened.
This comes at a moment too, where there has been so much attention being paid to what goes on in Chicago and the mismanagement in Chicago, the mismanagement in Cook County, the mismanagement in the state of Illinois. It's like it's like unpeeling the onion, right? When you look at what goes on here and the sorts of things that people of goodwill and new eyes, when they come into offices like this and they just go, oh my God, I cannot believe how screwed up this thing is, whether, it's at the city, county, or state level. And then they try to start to fix it. And then there's, a lot of energy that goes against that. And people go, well, that's not the way we did things around here. But you can see that they did things the wrong way. And it was very, very hurtful to families and to just to humanity. It's a breach of human ethics.
Yeah.
And,
Ro, that's what I told people. I said, listen, I'm not trying to be Mr. Goody Two-Shoes by any stretch, but the notion that is how we were burying indigent people unreal. Unreal that anybody with a conscience would have not been monitoring that and making sure it was done right. And what I've told people, because that's how they were burying all of them, so indigents and unidentified. They weren't extracting any DNA. They weren't marking anything. So, like, if someone's daughter, say, from California, came out to Chicago, got hooked on heroin and ended up overdosing, there was no one to identify her, they were later able to piece some things together that put her in Chicago, they could never find that body again. No way. I could point to a hill and say, she's one of the thousands in there, but you will never find her. There was no markings. I mean, that's where you just got beyond it all, and you just say to yourself, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get these, you know, people that say, well, that wasn't my job. Well, no, absolutely was your job, okay? That's, you know, that's what we sign up for. You know, yeah, does it mean you work a couple extra hours? Yeah, but that's what you signed up for, my friend. So that's where it gets all a little bit old. And then with this case, too, what's important, too, Ro, that I've been telling folks is that we're able to narrow down literally almost within a 24-hour period to where Jimmy was killed. The reason is because Gacy was burying people so rapidly as he was killing them that he was running out of space at times. And so he was stacking bodies two to three deep at times. Jimmy was on a group of three. The young boy ahead of him, Johnston, we know exactly when he was killed because he was dropped off at the Aragon by his mom for a concert, and she was going to pick him up, and he was never seen again. So we know he was killed on that day. We know, yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Well, Jimmy was buried right underneath him. And so Jimmy had talked to his mother 2 days before this other young man went to the concert. So we're able to narrow that down. Why is that helpful? The third body, the one on the bottom, that's one of the unidentified. We don't know what it is. So we're hoping families now, we actually can even give them a better time frame.
Time frame for when all this happened. And for people who are not familiar with this, because I know, I mean, we have a lot of listeners and members of our staff who weren't born when all of this went down in 1979, and it's Tom and I are roughly the same age, and although he's much better looking than I, there is
he looks younger.
Yeah, he does look. He looks significantly younger than me. We were teenagers
it's
at this
because of my non-stressful job.
Oh gosh,
we were Chicago Chicago teenagers in this era. Where there were people kids disappearing, young men disappearing, and it was unclear why that was going on. And then we came to learn that this guy, this sort of itinerant house painter and
clown.
Handyman guy, and then part-time clown.
Yep.
Birthday clown,
which made me give up clowns forever.
John Gacy was was going out and encountering these young men and in different circumstances. Sometimes it was like a gay pickup. Sometimes it was just like, hey, can I help you? You know, let me help you get home. Let me do this. And then he was basically either poisoning or strangling these kids when he would get them to a secure location, defiling their bodies and then burying them. And he buried them under his home, in the crawl space of his home. And
until he ran out of space.
Literally until he ran out of space.
Yeah, and you start burying them in the driveway and then dumping bodies in the displains.
Right, and we know that there were a total of how many?
33 that we're sure of.
29 found at his house is what the reports say.
Yeah.
And when you stop and think about the, that at that moment in Chicago, and it was all in a relatively short period of time, frenzy.
There's no internet, there's no cameras, there's nothing, so no one was piecing any of this together. Different law enforcement officers from different departments had suspicions, and he had been brought in at different times, but there was no databases that connected all the different law enforcement agencies, and really the only thing that broke it up was the fact he was such a monster, such an animal, that he grabbed the Peace Boy as he was going to the mother, they dropped him off at the pharmacy down the road. He was supposed to then be back home like in an hour for the mother's birthday party, and he's all of a sudden gone. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, who is he with? They go, oh, Mr. Gacy, the construction guy, was going to talk to him about construction work for him, and he went out back, and all of a sudden everything started to come together, and then people piece things together. But that's what they say, Ro. I'm not into the conspiracy stuff, but there is no conceivable way he didn't kill people in another state.
Right.
Absolutely no way.
There's a book that Sam Amirante wrote, who was his attorney, that is that is chilling because Gacy walked into Sam Amirante's office late one night and confessed to all of this to Amirante.
Oh my God.
And
you know that
scene, and of course John Gacy was executed in the state of Illinois in the 1990s, and was a as creepy a figure in a town filled with creepy figures as, you know, one could possibly imagine. All right. Very quickly, before we let you go, I got to ask you about this. The president of Cook County Board is asking that that across the board, that 25% be cut out of the budgets. They're in your office of 3,600 employees. They're looking for 900 cuts right now, layoffs in your office. A, can you do that? And B, if the beverage tax does eventually go through, because this was all based on the fact that the beverage tax got held up.
Yeah.
Are those layoffs and you can rehire them? What is the status of that?
You know, we're still working with the county board. I think myself, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think the chief judge's office was also not in compliance yet. They were looking for, I have about a little under 7,000 employees. They were looking for me to fire about just under 1,000 of them. And they, ultimately, dollar-wise, they were looking for about $21 million for me. And what I've tried to explain to people, listen, I know they weren't planning on this tax being held up, so I don't blame them for that. That was, you know, one of their funding streams here. I understand. I'm not blaming them. But this isn't because I blew through my budget and I'm looking for an extra $21 million. No, I'm actually underneath the budget figure I had to operate for the year. I've actually had my headcount below when I started as sheriff. So we've done good things there. We just got out of this consent decree of 40 years, which a lot of it had to do with staffing levels. And so I've tried to explain to them if I can make some reductions. Some of them absolutely have to be temporary. Myself and all of our upper-level people are all going to take furlough days, which, you know, pay you know, cuts for us, but we're on board. So we've laid out a bunch of them, but we're still going back and forth. I think I've got up to about $18 million of cuts, but they are saying they want $21 million. And I'm at the point where I can't do this anymore without jeopardizing things. And so I don't want to say we're loggerheads, but we're getting close to that right now.
Okay. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love being on your show talking about such uplifting topics. Always.
Well, we like hearing from you on all topics.
Maybe we can have you on next week to talk about how well the White Sox are doing this season. All right.
They're knocking it out of the park, bro.
I was there last night.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff knows that because the sheriff sees the police reports. And I
was what happened during the seventh inning when they had to stop playing. They refused to put the cameras on the field.
Uh-huh.
That was me.
Rokan.
That was me. I like that. You know, I'm an honorary Legui, the family member of the people that ran out on the field. The Sox fans always know who that is.
Uh-huh.
The thing that I said to our own Kevin Powell, I said, you know what? This is an exciting moment for this. I love the energy that they're putting into this team. And I think that it sucks now, but that's what the Cubs went through for a number of years before greatness instilled. And I think they're on the road to something. And it was a very fun evening out there, as always.
Yoan Moncada tonight, Sheriff Dart.
Moncada got called up today, too. So more fun in store.
Yeah, fun in store tonight. He's going to be playing tonight. So he's the hottest prospect in Major League Baseball. And he's a Chicago White Sox. So there you go.
I got something.
Yeah, that's good. Nice to see you. All right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Right. Thank you so much.
All right. Goodbye. I can't get the guy off the phone.
No,
I don't know.
There's so much to talk to him about.
I don't know what goes on. All right. We've got right now, we are going to be talking about Bear coming up after the Bob Bear, not Brett Bear. That's a different guy.
Different Bear.
Bob Bear, who the highest decorated CIA officer of all times, who's been acknowledged by the CIA, let's put it that way, in public knowledge. Is going to join us to talk about the fact that the president has pulled out now of a covert CIA operation to fund and arm Syrian rebels against the Assad government, which is a win for Vladimir Putin. What is that all about? Bob will explain it to us. But first, Violetta Podomatic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
And if you are headed to the Sox game, the Dan Ryan's not horrible. 25 minutes in both directions between 95th and the Burns Circle.
Oh, it's horrible. It just, the traffic isn't bad. That's a separate issue.
Yes, that's actually what I meant.
Okay. We'll be right back. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, one of the most honored, at least publicly acknowledged CIA officers in the history of the organization. Joins us right now. He's a regular guest on this program. Yep. We appreciate his time when he can give it to us, he's not spending multiple time on media sources all over this country. Bob Baer is with us. And, well, this kind of took me a little bit by surprise earlier today when we learned that the president has instructed his CIA director, Mike Pompeo, to pull out of a covert operation that the CIA was operating in Syria, in which they were funding and arming rebels of the Assad government, rebels against the Assad government. As we've talked about multiple times on this program, you know, Syria is a mess. You're never quite sure who you're shooting at there, right? Between the Assad, the rebels, ISIS, and you know, you got a lot of different tribes, if you will, there, all kind of fighting with each other. But this is being described as a win for Vladimir Putin. Is it?
Well, first of all, Ro, I'd like to say that you guys are my favorite.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
You get right to the point. So if I could just see you all the time, I'd be happy.
We'd be happy to.
We would.
Well, listen, here's the deal. Bashar al-Assad has gassed his own people. I wouldn't say at the behest of the Russians, but certainly with their coordination. So what Trump has done in standing down on this, what's called a lethal finding against the Syrian regime, is all but blessed whatever he wants to do to the civilian population that is Bashar al-Assad. But I'll tell you what disturbs me is that Trump just keeps on, you know, following this Russian agenda. Every time he opens its mouth, he refuses to use the three words, the Russians did it, hacked our elections. We all know they did. He refuses to retaliate against Russia for the hacking, in essence inviting the Russians to hack the 2018 and 2020 elections. And now he's going along with the Russians in Syria. And this is after a meeting in Hamburg where he, for an hour, this is unprecedented, uses a Russian translator and pulls Putin aside to discuss what we have no idea. There is no government record of it, of policy. This is really starting to worry me.
Bob, would you say that pulling the CIA's support of the rebels is all but guaranteeing their defeat? Would you go that far? Is it over if that isn't there?
It's pretty much over. I mean, we can carve out, you know, part of Syria protecting these people, but the lethal finding is we're saying essentially that Bashar al-Assad is the president of Syria, Russian ally or not, and we're just going along. It's a message. It's a signal to the Syrian opposition, which has taken a serious beating over the last couple of years. Raqqa is about ready to fall. You know, they're pretty well done, but we're sanctioning it essentially by pulling the lethal finding out. I mean, this is a change. We are in essence, by removing this lethal finding, we are in essence sanctifying Russian suzerainty over Syria.
Yeah. And then we have to broker back through Putin, which, you know, and again, something that has been discussed a lot over the last number of years, Putin does have sway over the last presidents that he has dealt with, whether it's George W. Bush or Barack Obama. Everybody seems to think that they've got a reset possibility. Hillary Clinton thought that when she was Secretary of State. He's very good at charming these people initially, who he makes presidents look like fools. And then the new presidents come in and say, well, I'm not going to be the fool. It was so obvious what happened there. So I'm going to be the one who's going to be able to have the relationship. And what I think is a different tone here that has been set is you've got Trump coming in not from the standard traditional East-West Cold War dynamic of, listen, you are our existential enemy. So we are, even though we're in the Cold War and we have, you know, we're very much opposed to each other on the world stage, we're going to try to cut some sort of a deal. That's the way that has been done basically, you know, since 1945 with the Russians, right? Since Elba, since we parted the river in Berlin. That has been the last, you know, the last, or the, in Germany, I should say, that has been the last way the way we've been dealing with each other. Now comes Donald Trump, who's like, hey, you and I, we got a lot more in common than you've had with other presidents, is sort of the way that he's approaching this deal.
Well, I mean, you know, let's go to the tax returns. Everybody is convinced with any sense at all that he has ties to Russian financial organizations that bailed out, you know, Trump Enterprises. I don't know anybody that doesn't think that. So, I mean, we just don't know what his connections with the Russians are.
Let me posit something for you here, Bob, because I think this is something that you're watching develop, and you can read tea leaves that in terms of when you try to connect the dots out of things that come out of these committees. One of the things that they're looking at here, and one of the interesting things about that meeting with Jared Kushner and with Don Jr. and Manafort, was that the people in that room were basically lobbying to get sanctions removed from a Russian industrialist or oligarch who had taken part in a billion-dollar money laundering scheme, a bank fraud here in the United States. Now, the money laundering scheme was the used American shell companies and real American companies and friends of Russia in America to launder European and Russian money through the United States so as to avoid and to, you know, to fund things that they wanted to do that they could not publicly fund or openly fund in other places. And the question I now have, I think a lot of people have, is was the Trump Organization at any time helping with that laundering of the money? Were they paying for, were they parking money in real estate here in order to eventually use it in another way and avoid their complications?
Yeah, Ro, absolutely. I mean, this is a matter of record. It goes back to 1980. He was taking Russian investments, putting him into his properties, whether it's Mar-a-Lago or residential properties in Florida, on through golf courses, tons of Russian money coming in from oligarchs who were close to Putin, and before that, Boris Yeltsin. There's tons of evidence. I mean, there's property records of this. And at one point, when he went bankrupt, he couldn't get money from either Germany or anywhere else, and it came from the Russians, and it saved him. And this is not nutty conspiracy stuff. This is in property records in New York. I mean, this is real stuff. And what we all want to know is what are in those tax returns, and is this president financially tied to Putin? And if you look at his actions, and I'm saying this as a former counterintelligence officer, I'd say yes.
Okay. Bob, there's also a report this afternoon about how Turkey's state-run news agency leaked the positions of 10 U.S. military posts in Syria, actually publishing a map about where those troops were located, saying this is not something that's normally done, but here they are anyway, essentially, and that U.S. officials are furious about this kind of a publication of a security breach.
They should be. I mean, but Turkey, Erdogan, is not on our side either. I mean, he detests Trump. He detests the United States. For some bizarre reason, he thinks the United States had something to do with that coup last year. It, of course, didn't. And he's an autocrat that's frankly lost his mind. It is a very dangerous situation. It's so fluid, and you look at the politics in the Gulf and the fact that there was essentially a coup d'état in Saudi Arabia, where the second crown prince threw out his cousin, the minister of interior, the guy who was supposed to succeed the king. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. It's worrisome.
Do you get a sense? Because I certainly do. You know, the quiet sort of, you know, keeps moving along investigation that is being done by Robert Mueller seems to be based on people having to go through Mueller to go to the Mueller has to sign off essentially on any one of these witnesses showing up at the House or the Senate committees because they are working now in tandem. The legislative committees are working in tandem with the Mueller investigation to make sure they're not stepping on each other, which I think is really, kind of unique right now in Washington that you're getting that level of cooperation. Second,
it's crucial. I mean,
yeah.
you can't have the House or the Senate giving immunity to a witness and then, you know, removing, you know, useful from Mueller. I mean, the FBI knows how to do an investigation like this, and you know they can go on, or Mueller can, and subpoena his tax returns, and you get into the metadata, that meeting in Trump Tower in June of last year with the Russians, and you simply look at their phones and who called whom after this meeting. And I've done these investigations before where you had, you know, prepaid cell phones, that, you know, anonymous cell phones, and you tie those together with their real phones. It's amazing what you can do with digital data in terms of getting indictments. And then, of course, is follow the money. That's really key, follow the money,
yes.
Which none of that we're seeing.
Right. And
if Trump is innocent, he really should bring this stuff out and say, hey, guys, look, here's my tax returns. Here's everything. Go away. But he's not. That's what disturbs me. And he's not going after the Russians for the 2016 hacking, which is commander-in-chief. It's negligent.
Yeah. And I guess I want to say this to people who are getting some fatigue, Russia fatigue, or people who, you know, would like the media and all the rest to give Donald Trump a break and say, mm-hmm. you know, come on, just let the guy do what he's doing, and this is a big nothing burger, or, you know, whatever these people want to say. Is that, you know, we may be having this conversation. You know, the White House has tried to float out this idea that Hillary Clinton, you know, was dealing with Ukrainians and trying to, you know, back channel stuff through the Ukrainians. The point here is this. We may have been in an investigation period if Hillary Clinton had won as well. You know, Donald Trump would be on the sidelines, you know, certainly advocating for that, right? Mm-hmm. But the issue here is a very simple one. Whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else who was elected president in 2016, and whomever is going to be elected in 2020, whomever is going to get elected in 2018 in the midterms, we need to make sure that the Russians are not involved, or that some other foreign government is tampering with this system, and to learn the mechanics that were used here, that everyone acknowledges, with the exception of the White House. Everyone acknowledges it, and we understand why they don't want to acknowledge it, but they don't. With everyone who is involved in this on any level knows what that this has happened, we need to secure the United States from that sort of thing, because this is going to go on. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg, the beginning of this.
You couldn't be more right. Look, it's about our democracy. You got to look people in the eye, say, do you care that whether a democratic part, you know, we're a democracy or not? And if they don't, they say, well, let's cede it to the Russians or the Chinese or to the Koch brothers. It doesn't really matter. If you're ceding your democracy and you don't care about it, the republic is over. This is not about partisan politics. You cannot have a foreign government meddling in your election at any level. And you have to respond to it. Otherwise, you forfeit your democracy, period.
Mm. Bob, thank you very much. As always, it's a pleasure. You're a true American hero, and it's good to have you on, sir. Appreciate
it. Thanks,
Bob.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. We have got, right now, Violetta Potter-Matic, the last traffic report of the day.